Welcome to Happy Hour, and apparently just welcome to Hell Week. He's Adam Harahawk. I'm Sean Cantwell. And everything that can go wrong seemingly wants to go wrong between power outages and Facebook failures.
Facebook went down for an hour.
And then...
Or something like that.
Yeah, apparently. And both of us just having everything that can go wrong in our lives this week is...
Mine's are all like minor annoyances, but yeah, point taken. I mean, sometimes you're the pigeon, sometimes you're the statue. And today, or this week, we are the statue.
Certainly feels like it, man. Like I am no plumbing expert by any means, but it seems like every time I try and do anything around the house, it just screws up everything. Like I went to do laundry last night, backed up in my bathtub. Went to take a shower this morning, toilet won't flush now. And there's just random gurgling coming from different, you know, drains and things in the kitchen, in the bathroom, and the laundry room. It's just wonderful, just effed up, just
a blank show. You know, yeah. You know what the blank stands for.
Oh yeah. Thankfully, not literally yet in that regard. Yeah. Things are backing up, but that's not the one.
I guess
of them.
When I'm talking about plumbing, I need to really choose my words wisely.
Right. And thankfully, the basement hasn't gotten wet or anything. Like nothing's backing up down there.
Good.
It's just nothing's going down. Or it's taking, you know, an eternity to go down. Like, I went to bed this morning and still had a full, like, bathtub full of water, like, that backed up into it.
So yeah, sounds like you got a clog somewhere. But, I mean, you got to figure out, is it on you or is it the city or what? Because, I mean, you're all tied in together.
Right. And this isn't the first I've heard. Like, I've heard, like, other people around our... the fun, thriving metropolis of Columbiaville that have experienced fairly similar issues to this, like, relatively close by. So I'm kind of thinking it's not something necessarily on my end personally. At least I'm hoping not.
Folks, learn to find out what's flushable and what isn't. Please. Paper towel, believe it or not, is not flushable.
We haven't flushed any paper towel, Adam.
There's some people that do, though. And if they're on the same line as you, that could be a problem. Like, okay, so, like, diapers, obviously, not flushable. Feminine hygiene products, not flushable.
I know, crazy, but, yeah, they're not. No.
Or, you know, like, a lot of times people will, like, have a big pot full of grease or whatever, and they'll want to flush that. I'm like, that will solidify, and that'll clog you up.
That'll end your world, man.
Yeah, you got to get a big old snake. And I got one of those long snakes, but it's not like the 30-footer that you get with a professional plumber or anything like that.
Which is probably realistically what we need and hopefully would even be enough.
But you had the situation, and hi, welcome to Home Talk with Sean and Adam.
Right.
You had this issue last year. Like last fall?
It's come up a few times.
Has it?
Over the years, yeah.
So I wonder what, I don't know.
Wouldn't I like to know?
If anybody out there maybe has some plumbing experience that might give us some ideas, shoot us a message.
God, please do, because this is getting just absurd, man. It really is.
Help them out, and we could work out some advertising right here on this fine station.
Very well could. It is happy hour. Stick around. So we had started on this list earlier in the week about how apparently the rest of the world doesn't believe that schools in America run the way that they do.
Yeah, the school systems in America are far different than those of other countries, especially with the quality of education. But that's another conversation for another time. There's a lot of things that we do with the school systems. I mean, we're very centered around schools, whether it's, you know, proms or sports and things like that, where other countries are kind of reaching out saying, hey, are these really things? Like before when we talked about this, they asked, is detention a real thing? Or is this just something for, you know, for a subplot in teen comedies? Do American schools actually have students sit in a cafeteria during lunch?
Yes, yes, they do.
As opposed to letting the kids just roam free in the wild, which is what they used to do in the 50s. You'd go down to like a local diner and get something to eat and then go back to school. But apparently now you can't trust us.
Well, to be fair, we've probably given them plenty of reason to not trust us.
A lot of the kids just didn't seem to come back.
Funny how that works.
So I can't remember. Okay. Yeah, school buses. I think we touched on that for just a second, but do American school? Oh, yeah, we did touch on that one. We're like, well, how did you get to school? A hot air balloon just show up and come get you?
Apparently.
Why do Americans go to school at 7 a.m.? That should be illegal. I agree. But then that means you're not getting out until 4 or 5.
Right. And who wants to be in school all that, like, that late in the day?
Nobody.
No, absolutely nobody.
No, it start. You start later when you're in like the lower grades, elementary, junior high. But yeah, it's they're preparing you when you're in high school. They're preparing you for a soul crushing job where you got to get up before the sun's up and get started.
Yeah.
Why do American schools have clubs for like everything though? Imagine your school having a fishing club. No thanks. I mean, it depends. The higher. The more expensive areas, they'll have a lot more clubs. They'll have, you know, a bird watching club. They'll have an archery club. They'll have this. They'll have that. I mean, but I mean, we had a chess club. We had a newspaper club, yearbook committee, a lot of standards. The only thing I got into was chess.
Yeah, we had all the, like the basic stuff. I'm pretty sure we had a chess club and all that nonsense. You know, like that's our, like I mentioned the other day, we talked about this. Our school had a, you know, radio club, which ran an online station out of the school. Like
that would have been cool.
It's really what kind of led to this, to where we find ourselves now, honestly.
That would have been a lot of fun.
But then again, there was also a club where kids literally just sat around and watched anime and or play DDR. Like, we had clubs for those specific things. Like, y'all remember Dance Dance Revolution?
We
had a club specifically devoted to that.
And then very specific.
And another one that was specifically devoted to watching anime.
Wow. So, you had, at your school, you had, like, a big Dance Club Revolution machine school?
Not the machine, per se. This was more like the PlayStation version that had, like, the little fold-up mat that comes with it.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. I was going to say, what kind of budget do you guys have?
We wish. Well, Pure West wasn't exactly the technology school.
Do American schools actually have students carry around baby dolls that cry, or does that just happen in kids' TV shows? Yeah.
I've never seen it in person.
But I've heard of it, yeah. They're trying to... It's kind of... trying to teach you what it's like to have a baby around all the time and so that, you know, you're not being so promiscuous, practicing safe sex and learning about responsibility. And, well, I don't want this all the time. I should probably make him wear a glove or something, like, you know, something like that. But then maybe it might backfire and trigger some, you know, mommy daddy reflexes in kids. And like, oh, this is wonderful. I want a baby.
Yeah, it could definitely work the opposite way.
Then you got old Tiffany having to use the side rail when she goes across the stage to get her diploma because she's 6 months preggers.
Yeah, we had one or two of those that like just stopped showing up mid senior year and found out they got knocked up.
Yeah, isn't that just a funny thing? It's like, oh, she's going to a different education field. Yeah, she got knocked up.
Right. That's what it is, a different
education
field. Sure, we'll go with that.
It's just like. No, we don't want Tiffany with the regular students because we don't want them to think this is a good idea. No, absolutely. Have Preggers Tiffany show up and, you know, I can't. All the other girls will be like, no.
Guarantee you, no one is thinking that.
No.
Absolutely nobody.
And if they are thinking that, they'd probably be triggered by a simple like soap opera. So don't worry about it. I mean, they got to start. I mean, give kids the facts and let them digest it the way they're going to. But you know, you're not going to curb somebody's parental wish. I remember I was with a woman,
unfortunately,
whose youngest sister. She only had two aspirations. She was like 15. Two aspirations: get married, have kids, and maybe not necessarily in that order.
And that's just such a stupid thing to me. Like, why would you like? Why would you ruin your entire like life that early of an age? Like, people who like have no other like dreams or goals in life,
and that she didn't.
And quite frankly, those people probably shouldn't be parents anyway.
Well, their mother was very much you don't need to be out there working. You need to find a man that will take care of you. And that's that's why me and her daughter are no longer together.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, that will do it. All right, we're talking about students or people from other countries asking about the American school system. And one person asks, WTF is a pep rally? Do they actually happen in American schools? I generally want to know. Yes, they're a real thing. Now,
they're a thing. They're usually an excuse for me to skip out of school early.
Yeah, yeah.
I know this is going to come as a complete and utter shock to you, Adam. I did not have what would be described as school spirit, but I was very much a fan of not being in class. So
yeah, well, you probably weren't allowed at pep rallies. Come like, come on, let's go. I say Panthers, you say go. And you're like, your quarterback completion rating sucks. Your offensive line is terrible.
Okay, yeah, maybe there was that.
You say QB, I say trash. QB, trash. Sean, why don't you take this last period off? Go ahead and go home.
Yeah, I gladly take the
You know what, principal? It's probably for the best. All right, deuces, guys. Why do American students eat lunch at 10:30? Whose idea was that? Well, you got so many kids that you got to wrangle in there. There's different lunch periods.
Yeah,
you get that unlucky card where, you know, you just ate breakfast. 3 hours later, you're eating lunch.
Right, like it was staggered. Obviously, the same way for you as it was in our school. Yeah. Like your lunch might start at 10:30 or it might end at 12:30. There's really no way to know for sure.
I had the last lunch break, and that was a year. I don't know who was in charge of the lunch menu or anything, but they were probably worried about a surplus of food because there's a couple times where like you don't want to be the back of the line
because there wouldn't be anything left.
No. Oh, sorry. You want pizza or hamburger? Pizza. We're out. All right. So I guess my chances are hamburger, right?
We're out.
Yep. Well, you didn't want cheeseburger, did you? Because we're out of cheese.
Right. Pretty impressive, really.
I still don't fully believe that American high schools actually have pools, and it's not just a prank they're playing on us.
No, it's a thing.
The rich schools, yeah, they had pools.
Like our high school didn't. Like, we had to go to the community center for everything, but
yeah. So as did we, which the community center was like just across the street from.
Yeah.
No, when I went to school, we didn't have that. So I don't know.
Wasn't there yet?
It wasn't there yet, no.
I'm wondering then, where would have, because we didn't have one at West, would it have been in the old middle school?
No, it was probably at that place on the corner, you people who don't live in Lapeer probably don't care about this, but we drove past it the other day. It's a...
What is the meditation healing center or whatever now?
Yeah. Yeah. Something like that. So it may have went there. We didn't do swimming or anything like that. I'm not about that life.
That sounds too much like work.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Do schools in America really have extra credit or is that just in movies? Yes. And that's how some of us graduated.
Yeah.
MF-er.
The only way some of us graduated. Quite frankly, it's amazing that we did graduate either. Well, I mean, less so for me, I guess, but not by much.
You used to be able to submit like Kroger receipts, and the schools would submit that to Kroger's, and they would like donate money to that school. So there's a couple times where I got out of detention with Kroger receipts.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a thing you could do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were really worried about my education.
Yeah, clearly.
And instead, I made a plea deal.
Right. What they're really worried about was that you weren't shopping. You know, Adam, you haven't been shopping. You haven't been Krogering lately.
I got about four or five more of these. Do we want to do these now? Or
We'll do them again coming up next.
Okay.
See, this is why you probably just shouldn't trust me in general, man.
I never did.
So he goes over to grab this glass of whiskey. Like, do you have any whiskey glasses? Yeah. Do you have any whiskey? Yeah, I do. Is it good whiskey? Yeah, maybe.
So is this whiskey young, you ask? Well, it's a school night, so it should be in bed.
Yes, the old Imperial. I had a bottle of Maker's 46 sitting right behind the dartboard in here. But, you know, just because I'm such a nice guy, I decided, you know what? Let's see if we can work this Imperial down a little bit, then produce the bottle of Maker's.
So, gotcha. All right, we're having a lot of fun with this. I enjoy these where we talk about other countries wondering what we're doing, because then also it gets we're feeling nostalgic. You started at the open of this segment. We feel nostalgic about high school, and I realize that I don't remember a whole lot about high school.
I mean, I don't really either all that much, and weird thing is I'm not one of those people who's like nostalgic for school at all. Like, no. I hated it while I was there, and I didn't really like it anymore after I left.
Oh, yeah, the very last day of senior year, got people crying and hugging. I was like, I could not get out of that place fast enough.
Same.
I wanted to play my guitar. I had a song idea I wanted to write. I wanted to get out of there.
You still thought he was going to be a singer in a rock and roll band.
I was.
He's had rock star dreams and the whole deal.
I was. I somewhat did it on a very short level. But
right.
Okay. So this one, I'm going to say no, but you're going to say yes. Why do American schools have vending machines? We didn't have vending machines.
We did.
Yeah. That blew my mind. Yeah. A couple years going into a high school after I graduated, you had pop machines. Oh, no, wait a minute. No. We had pop machines. Yeah, right in the... Sorry, folks. The mines is the first thing to go. We did have pop machines in the cafeteria, but it was just like, it was a weird. But then I saw somewhere like they had like full-on snack machines and...
I don't hear of
certain things where it was crazy, but yeah, I mean, it's for revenue for the school,
right? That's what's really important here.
Because I mean, schools are funded to a certain extent by the public through taxes and everything else, but as soon as they want any more, they have to go to the voters. What's called a millage, and you even say the word millage
in Lapeer County.
Yeah, people just say no. You can have millage is a 2-syllable word. Before you get that second syllable out, they're saying no.
You could literally, it could literally be something that would cure cancer and just tell it, nope, we're not paying extra taxes for that.
Folks, I want to talk to y'all. We're able to bring in some high-edge professors from all the Ivy League schools to come teach. We're bringing in top-edge equipment. Our school system will be the pinnacle of the American school system. We will be churning out A-plus students, people who are going to be guaranteed to go into the high-priced, prestigious colleges throughout the United States. It's going to cost a 50-cent year millage. No! No.
No, they are. They are so anti-paying money for anything in this county. It's amazing, really.
It's sad that when this stuff happens, the schools have to break it down because you get the misinformation.
Well,
the millage, that's just so they can put cat boxes in the bathrooms.
And people are stupid enough to believe this.
Yep, yep.
And I was going around with a certain local politician that I'm pretty sure believes that very thing this morning. So.
Sure. But yeah, vending machines, it helps generate revenue. It's terrible that we got to do this. Why do American schools skip the letter E as a letter grade? We didn't. We had... We didn't have F.
We had right.
A. I know, because I got a lot of them.
Yeah, I think our school also did the same thing, and I'm not sure why that is.
I don't know. I think they went back to F.
They might have.
Yeah. They have. Yeah, because my stepkids have a lot of them.
A lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
Poor Adam.
Okay. I can't really... This doesn't really work, because this is a picture, but I mean, I'm going to let Sean describe this desk. Do American schools really use these?
Oh, like the little desk has the little shelf underneath it, or the chair with the shelf underneath it with the desk. It's like this little kind of...
Half desk
thing.
Yeah, that you sit in.
Yes, they do.
Yes, that is a real thing.
They've kind of replaced like the old school style that used to just be like a table that had an actual little container underneath it or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Remember like a one-room school. Because
those things would tip over so much.
Yeah. They would.
Probably even more than those.
Yeah, I know, because we've tipped them over on people. Do American schools...
They're not very comfortable to sleep on, I tell you that much.
No. Do American schools actually have a bus that drives to every kid's house and picks them up?
Yeah.
Or is it just a movie thing? Yeah, we talked about that earlier. There is a bus that will come pick you up. And even though that compassionate bus driver will see you running down the road to get to the bus stop... This compassionate person, she'll wave and then drive on.
Yeah. Yeah, like if you're not there, immediately, like wait now. And even if you're there, she might just drive on past you.
I'm going to go ahead and add school bus drivers to the apology list.
Apply for the best.
But it's, okay, if there's any, there's few people out there that really suffer from authority complex. Bus drivers are certainly one of them. When I had my first stepson, he didn't show up for school. He didn't show up home. He was late. He was late. Where's Kenny? Where is? And we're calling neighbors. Is he there? And come to find out, they were driving, the school bus was driving the kids home, and one of the kids called another kid an idiot. They turned the bus around and went back to the school.
Oh, wow.
So I called the principal. I'm like, we didn't know where our kid was. Well, we had an incident. Yeah, I heard about the incident.
Incident, quote unquote.
Yeah. One kid, I said, I think we have a power-hungry bus driver, and this is not acceptable. In this kind of day and age, where if that kid doesn't show up, I don't know what happened to that kid. You know, and we'll look into it unless we ever heard of it. But
yeah, they didn't look into anything.
And finally, do schools in America actually use hall passes? Like, can't go to the bathroom without a pass? I thought that was just in movies.
Nope, that was a real thing.
Yep, and finding a teacher that would let you actually give you a hall pass, that bathroom breaks are before class, between each classes, folks.
Doesn't matter if your classes are literally on two opposite ends of the building.
Yep, that's got
to
be.
Because they never give you enough time to actually do that. It's pretty impressive, honestly.
Yeah, that is frustrating because, our hallways had letters. So if you were on J Hall and you had to be school, you had to be over at B Hall. Yeah, you were hauling it, and you had like 3 minutes, 3 or 4 minutes to go there. That's not enough time to go to use the restroom.
Yeah, see, I got lucky. I just have managed to, I had two ways around this. One, I managed to schmooze the teachers enough that a couple of them would just like let me stay over and just write a pass into the next hour, so like I could actually get there and not have to worry about running across the school to be there in time. And then at one point, I'd actually I'd ganked a hall pass, a whole like book of them, like the actual book that they use for them. Like,
oh my god, you are Zach Morris,
basically. Yeah,
I schmooze the teachers. He had a hall pass counterfeit ring,
right?
How many for a book of five? Oh, it's gonna be about $10. $10. Hey, you want to go to get hall passes somewhere else? You go right ahead, my friend.
Yeah, you want them to actually be convincing, or do you want them to actually work? Yeah, I had kind of all that going for me. Like, again, it's a lot of, work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
And clearly that has benefited me. It served me quite well in the years since.
I kind of want to retort with these people. Say, you have to use hall passes to use a bathroom? Like what? So like at your school, and in Ecuador or whatever, you just get up and walk out? I'm kind of perplexed by this.
Honestly, probably. Like a lot of them. Like,
no, in Ecuador, we just got a hole in the back of the classroom, and we just go right there.
Good God, man. But no, like a lot of other places aren't as like super like strictly authoritarian as we are. Like, it's just
for being a country that's supposedly free. And here we go. there seems to be a lot of things. We don't trust you. We need to corral you. We don't leave campus. You have to be here at this time, and you need a hall pass to pee.
To exist, really. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. Well, Adam, it's about that time. It's a little early in the week for it, but I kind of want to do it anyway. Another installment of our favorite bit on this show, Sean and Adam's Unsolicited Advice.
You've got some venom that you want to spit out. I can tell. It's been a heck of a week. So,
how did you know? It's you already know the drill by now. Real people, real problems, yada, yada, yada. We ruin lives. Let's go ahead and do this thing, shall we? Dear somebody who cares, I live in a beautiful and very expensive apartment with many amenities, a sprawling rooftop lounge, high-tech gym, complimentary refreshments, and on-site chefs, meta spa, concierge, physician, blah, blah, yada, yada,
that's
whatever.
That's his house?
Her apartment. Her apartment. Building, yeah.
Wow, okay. All right.
After living in highly questionable apartments for years, I finally have the funds to live here. I invited a friend over, and she was over the moon. She bluntly asked multiple times for my code so she can access these luxuries whenever she wants.
Uh-oh.
For many reasons, I'm uncomfortable doing this.
Yeah.
First, I think it's rude she asked. If the roles had been flipped, I would have never brought up codes unless she'd offered. Second, I worked extremely hard and went through a lot that she did not have to get here. And frankly, I don't like the idea of her freeloading at the crest of a very, very difficult journey, frolicking around my home at her leisure. I have sacrificed a lot to live here, and she is not. Third, I don't think it's fair if residents start giving away codes to non-residents. Strangers will be in and out, and they'll be competing with us to use amenities. I wouldn't be comfortable if my neighbors gave away their codes, especially because I moved in here in part for security reasons. Fourth, I don't want to get clocked by management for breaking rules. Fifth, I don't want her to bring in people I don't know or leak the codes. To be honest, knowing her, I know she would use the space to entertain her own guests or perhaps give the codes away herself.
Oh, boy.
Before she asked for the codes, I was happy to have her over, but the entitlement has made me sour. Perhaps she only asked because she would have happily given her keys to me if I had asked. Bottom line, I'm not comfortable and don't want to give them to her. How do I graciously decline?
You tell her, what was it, 5th, 6th, and 7th of all that? I mean, she brings up some good points. I mean, she started to lose me when she's like, I worked hard for this. I'm like, it's all me. It's not her, you know. But yeah, there's a reason why these things are private. There's a reason why, I mean, you're paying for these. You're paying for these anemones. And next thing you know, if everybody gives out their code, what's the difference between that and your local Starbucks? And, you know, and yeah, I mean, this person could put you in bad terms with the management there.
Yeah.
It's no es bueno. Say, hey, you want to come over and visit me sometime and hang out with me? Yes, absolutely. I would love to have you. But to give you free reign, no, I can't do that. That's, I don't know. I don't know if there's anybody I would do that for my house. That's not in a big posh kind of area, you know. I mean, it's
yeah.
I don't know. It's crazy.
I can't imagine doing it. I mean, there are very few people to whom I would give the code to this house, honestly. And I don't have all these other things. Like, I'll be honest with you. She kind of makes herself sound a little stuck up with some of the reasons. But honestly, the only reason that you need to tell her is that I'm not looking to get in trouble with the landlords by giving this out. Like, I'm not looking to get evicted from this place because I gave somebody a code and it got around and there's big old parties happening here and all the neighbors and the landlords are pissed about it.
Yes. Yeah, that's all you really need to tell them. Say, listen, there's some memos going around because, you know, probably every code is assigned to a tenant, so they know who's coming in and out.
Exactly.
So, you know, so you had 17 people come in here. Wow. Okay. No, I was gone. Oh, yeah, well, we got the video, and there's, you know, her buddy Stephanie, just with like 10 or 12 people doing keg stands in the pool. And so,
right.
You can't do that.
No. So I would absolutely say that's the only thing, the only reason you need to give her.
Yeah, don't feel like you're required to share your good fortune with somebody else in the effort of friendship. If anything, that friend should realize that there's boundaries.
Yeah, she kind of maybe crossed a little bit of a line there. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I said, you do still sound stuck up too, but honestly, I think she absolutely crossed the line there. Like, that wasn't something that needed to happen.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's like, oh, you got a new car? Oh, it's nice. Hey, can I get a key too?
Right.
No. Absolutely not. No.
And, you know, there's probably people out there that would do that. I feel like we've probably met people like that who would absolutely be like, hey, so I can just take this out for the weekend, right?
Yeah.
I guess totally how this works.
Oh, you want to use your car? You're being so selfish.
Right? How dare you want to do such a thing?
Right.
Let's get into one more of these here, shall we?
We shall.
Dear, does anyone actually still read these? My husband and I just moved from Ohio to South Carolina for better weather. We also went from a tiny house to a big, beautiful home. My in-laws always threaten to move in with us, and they think it's funny. I can't stand them. I loathe them. They're alcoholics, and when we lived in Ohio, my husband would go to their house every weekend and drink heavily with them. Since we moved, my husband hasn't gotten drunk, which I appreciate. When they come to visit, is it wrong to ask them not to bring liquor to our house and to ask them to stay at an Airbnb or hotel instead of us? The thought of them being here with us makes me cringe. I should also mention our lives and relationship are much healthier and happier without them around. Please help.
Well, I would have a talk with your husband about it first. I mean, if they have moved away from the parents and they're just there every once in a while, I think you can grin and bear it. I mean, unless the husband is abusive or dangerous when he's been drinking, if that's in there, then you got a bigger problem than what you're writing about. If saying that, you know, the in-laws can't hang out there with their son. I mean, because you don't appreciate the alcohol. That's, I don't know, that's kind of one-sided. I would be talking to your husband about that.
I mean, you could make the... I don't think it's too much to ask that they don't, like, stay at the house as in, like, you know, like, sleep there, get your own, like, accommodations or whatever. I don't think it's necessarily unreasonable. I mean, I personally think it would be unreasonable to tell people to not bring booze to my house, but I'm also an alcoholic, so that's a little bit different.
Yeah, I mean, from what the writer is saying, her idea of them bringing alcohol is probably bringing a six-pack and then just being really loud and...
Well, she did specifically say liquor.
Liquor, so, you know, it could be any number of things. I mean, I find it hard to believe that they're bringing a gallon of Fleischmann's or something like that and just getting, you know, you're finding your husband...
They might be.
...bent over the privacy fence in your backyard.
I mean, that's entirely... They might be... It might even be good booze, but I don't feel like that's the point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Unless it's causing abuse, it's causing a problem, I don't see... every once in a while allowing alcohol into the house as a problem. I mean, clearly she does, but she's got to realize she's married. She has a house with somebody. You had this guy move away from his parents, and he's given in, you got to give in a little too.
Yeah, but I don't know, like, if as bad as it is that they were supposedly drinking before and him being... however he was, like, whatever it is, like, I don't necessarily, and this is weird as someone who drinks as much as I do, I don't think she's being unreasonable here.
You're saying that if she has a caveat that they don't bring alcohol into the house.
Then just don't bring booze. And, you know, sneak out into the car and take a sip from a flask or something. I don't care.
Yeah, but if they're sitting there watching.
Or be hammered before you get there. Whatever works for you.
I mean, I brought some liquor into your house, but it's right here. Don't worry, I'm going to be getting rid of it here in a minute.
I mean, I'm certainly not going to go to someone's house if they have that rule, but that, again, that's me. I can make that choice.
Yeah, but it's the writer's rule. It's not, I guarantee it's probably not their son's rule. It's the son's house also. I mean, what if the son, me and my wife, we moved from, something to South Carolina, away from my parents. My parents like to visit every once in a while, and we'd like to have a few drinks while we're there.
It sounds like it's more than a few drinks.
Well, you know, when we're looking from the writer's standpoint, he's not gonna be like, "Yeah,
we got turned. We got turned that night.
I don't stop drinking until my mom looks pretty." But you know, my point is, if he said. But my wife says that under no circumstances are they allowed to bring alcohol into her house, she says. And furthermore, they're not allowed to stay there. They have to get an apartment, a B&B or a hotel or something like that. We'd be like, she's kind of being a copper bottom bitch, if we're being completely honest here.
I mean, now I wouldn't say that about the Airbnb thing. Yeah, you go, you sleep somewhere else. Like, I ain't hosting you up here. Like, I don't...
it's a big enough house, why wouldn't they? I mean...
Because it doesn't matter how big the house guest is. How big the house is, if the house guests are annoying enough, they will find a way to just make their stay hell.
Yeah, but we're not talking about me here hanging out at your house. We're talking about in-laws.
We might be talking about people who drink like you, though. And probably more so.
We're also talking about in-laws. We're not talking about, you know...
Don't care.
Is a college buddy, Biff, you know...
Still don't care. If they're the kind of person... If they're to the point where I do not want to deal with these people in my house, like, well... We'll take you out for dinners. We'll go out and do stuff with you. You can come and hang out here, but you're sleeping in your own.
Yeah, but I mean,
I don't think that's unreasonable.
She moved. I can only assume that they moved to South Carolina for. I mean, they said for the weather, but is it for her job? For his? She moved him away from his folks, and she can't be bothered for a weekend every 3 months for them to come over. She can't be put out that much. They're that annoying. How annoying would you have to be to where you can't, she can't put up with it?
He's I can imagine some who could be that annoying.
But she, he has.
I've had to tackle one of them.
Different story, different time. But you're getting my point. He has given in a lot to move away from his parents. It sounds like he's pretty close to his parents.
Well, you're assuming that she just like unilaterally made this decision to move and didn't give him the choice. Like, why are we assuming that he doesn't have any agency in his own life?
That's fair. That's fair. I was having that narrative, but let's say it's a mutual decision. But he has parents who want to come see him. I'm also looking at it from the parent standpoint. My baby boys, I want to go hang out with I want to have a beer with my son. Now I'm channeling my dad. So, I mean.
I could say something on the air, but I'm going to be
just,
nice.
I just think that she can put up with it every once in a while. Unless things are getting damaged, unless things are. Annoying is not enough to say, okay, your parents can't come over and have a good time. They can't stay here. They get a PPO against the in-laws. Some people would like to do that, but not a good idea.
Well, you're like we jump right away from just go sleep elsewhere and don't bring booze to my house to, oh my God, you want to have a PPO. You don't want this man to have a relationship with his parents.
She moved him away from the parents.
Did he not have the option to say, no, I want to stay here? I'm sorry. I missed where he can't take responsibility for where he lives.
No, because he's some simp. He's like, all right, I guess we're moving to South Carolina. Mom, Dad, I guess we're moving away. All right, baby boy, we'll see you later. Come to our funeral if you can. No, he's going to be busy. How do you know when our funeral is? If the hitman and I paid off, it should be Thursday, bitch.
All I'm saying.
Derek, get in the car. We're going to South Carolina.
Well, all I'm saying is if he can't stand up to his wife for something like this,
go Gamecocks. It's another thing where I would like to pull the husband aside. He's like, are you being abused? Are you being dominated? I mean, blink twice. We
don't know how he gets when he's drunk. He might be, and that might not even be physically abusive.
Yeah.
He might just be verbally lashing out and, screw you, bitch. Like, just being instant.
Oh, I'm glad my parents stopped by. I had some love and affection in this house ever since we moved to South Carolina. Go Gamecocks.
You really just wanted the excuse to say go Gamecocks again.
And
you're
going to bleep out Gamecock. Game. Boop.
I wasn't going to. I might now. I might now just for the hell of it.
So, I mean, you've got good points. I've got good points. But the thing is, I mean,
my points are gooder.
Unless, so is your English.
It's the bestest, really. What can I say?
I mean, if the family is not being abusive, destructive, if all we're talking about, we're taking that face value, is that they're annoying? I'm sorry. Put up with it, sweetheart.
That's different. But if they are being abusive or destructive,
but if it was,
they're just getting hammered and sitting there just. Oh,
yeah, well, if the parents show up and they down a fifth of wild turkey and my mother-in-law decides to headbutt the microwave, you know, that's a problem. That would be in the letter. That would be in the letter. It sounds like it's just annoying.
If they're the kind of people that just get drunk and start lambasting all of your life choices up to this point.
Wouldn't that be in the letter, though?
You would think that, but, you know, these people are like. I have the feeling they're trying to not like give too much detail here, so as not to. They assume their parents are of the age where they might actually still read advice columns. Like,
she's talking about us. Wait, they were bitching about my Land Rover, which license plate number 542. Damn bitch! Next time I'm gonna headbutt the microwave.
Happy Hour does not endorse headbutting microwaves.
I am going to upper deck the. Toilet.
That's bowl. Always your first response to anything. Okay, hey. No, your first response is usually a threesome. Your second response is usually to upper deck.
Threesome, and then all three of us upper deck the toilet tank.
Good Lord. Hope this helps. So it's not just our lives going to hell, apparently, Adam. Like, apparently there's something going around the greater well, probably the country, really, but the greater Metro Detroit area. Cause, so apparently Monday night, there was a fire that just destroyed a bunch of destroyed some buildings and caused a bunch of explosions down in Clinton Township.
Wow, I don't want to laugh because I know at last count a 19-year-old kid died in it, but yeah, they were launching it was launching like projectiles. I don't did we find out what it was?
So we know it was the building housed supplies for the vaping industry. And the fire caused multiple explosions that killed one person and injured a firefighter as the blast rocked suburban Detroit, sending gas canisters and debris shooting far into the air.
Yeah, people were finding like canisters in their yard like a mile and a half away.
Yeah.
And the entire sky smelled like Fruit Loops.
Right. Apparently, the building that caught fire hosted a distributor for the vaping industry called Goo, which had more than 100,000 vapes stored on site.
Ugh.
And they also had half a truckload of butane canisters that had arrived within the past week of the building, and more than half of that stock was still on site when the fire began.
So, yeah, I saw a video that old classmate of mine that I graduated with, she posted a video because she didn't live that far from it. I mean, maybe half a mile, but she was zooming in, and you see like little explosions and things like shooting up. They're like, is it fireworks? I mean, what is going on here? Ends up being these butane canisters and everything else. What if it's like it was a failed attempt from like that truth group to like get rid of vaping and smoking? They end up
you want to keep smoking? We'll just straight up kill you before the lung cancer dies.
Oh, you think vaping's fine? Watch this. I'm going to light off this one little butane canister. You see what happens? Oh, run. Make sure you hit like and subscribe. We'll see you later.
I mean,
smoking's bad. Vaping's bad. Let's go smoke some weed.
It is always funny. The people who get most on about that are the ones who are most pro weed smoking.
Yeah. You watch all those truth campaigns. Is that still a thing or am I aging myself?
I think it's still a thing.
They would have those commercials and I was like, you know, I'm not all for cigarette smoking at all. I think it's disgusting. But
Neither am I.
You know, those people are like, oh, we really made a difference in the world today, bro. Let's go smoke a bowl.
You kind of have to sit back and roll your eyes a bit at how just stupid a lot of that how just, you know, hypocritical a lot of that is. I mean, I hate smoking as much as the next guy. The vaping has gotten to be rather obnoxious, but I'm also not a huge weed geek. Like, I don't like smoke just in general. And I don't feel like, I know, weed's supposed to be better for you. It actually has real medicinal benefits that nicotine and tobacco don't.
Sure, sure.
Doesn't make it any less annoying when someone wants to light up a weed pen inside the bar.
Yeah, there's a time and a place, okay, folks?
And they don't know or care.
But yeah, you have that fire going on. There was a fire a couple of days ago in Davison. There was a fire in Lapeer where a classmate of mine died. What's going on here?
I don't know.
The entire state is burning now?
Apparently. Yeah, this is the third in like, what, the last week or so? Like,
yeah.
What is going on around here? Like, there's... I don't know if it's just this is where the whole not having a winter thing comes in, just screws up the atmosphere and it's too dry.
No, you've hit something because we didn't have a proper winter, and so
like I'll lay money right now, like we're going to set like a record of like wildfires this year, like it's going to be like so bad. Like
I could see it, I could see 4th of July fireworks being canceled.
Right, like I could very well see, like, you know, burn bans, like, for most of the UP and, you know, a good chunk of the lower, man.
I love a good backyard fire.
I know. Like, at least in our case, we have our little fire table, which, you know, is still kosher, as far as I know. But
the Gestapo is going to come shut you down.
But you got to kind of wonder, like, what all this is going to mean for... I mean, and this is something different. I mean, you just had here, you know... heat or flames meet, you know, a bunch of butane, but yeah. Still, like, it kind of doesn't bode well for the summer. Like, honestly,
no.
I kind of wonder if we're going to have all this to deal with again. Like, you remember last year with the wildfires and all the smoke? And like,
oh, my God. The Canadian
you couldn't see the sun for, like, a week.
oh, that was horrible. Yeah, and then like the year before that was the Canadian, California wildfires. Year before that was wildfires in...
And there's already been wildfires in California this year.
Australia.
What was the Australia one? Is that the one that was caused by that gender reveal?
No.
Or was that a different one I'm thinking
of? The gender reveal one started the California one.
That was an Australian one.
Nope. That couple just got...
yeah, we talked about that on the show.
Sentenced.
Not too long ago, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what happened in Australia, but I know I pissed my cousin off because she's a big old animal lover. And she posted a thing about buying a certain soap from Australia to raise money for it. And I said, yeah, I tried that soap. And she's like, how'd you like it? It's like, it kind of burned. It's shaped like a koala bear. Everything else, but I mean, with the early spring that we're having, and by the way, Punxsutawney Phil, spot on.
What is the actual official prediction of the groundhog? Like, how is that?
It was going to be an early spring.
Do they? Because I thought it's six more weeks of winter, and then just early spring. Like we can't predict how far ahead that is.
Early spring, yeah, could be, but. Punxsutawney Phil is like, no, next week, guys, next week, we're golden. Because, yeah, I mean, I noticed in your backyard, you already have trees starting to bloom.
I know.
You got some animals that are confused at what's going on. You already got bears coming out, and things are starting to grow. It could really knock things off as far as growing crops. We could see a real problem here.
I feel like that's something that's very... unfortunately, very likely to happen.
Sure.
Like, I'm kind of getting worried that, like, this is something that we're going to have to deal with. The bugs are going to be terrible. Like, there's going to be... the mosquitoes are going to be the worst. You already have the cicadas to deal with, but, like, the mosquitoes are going to be even worse. And, yeah, like, it's... like, hopefully you get some decent rain at some point, because, like, this is not going to bode well for the odds of, being able to have a campfire if you're out camping this summer.
So that means you're not going to be able to whip out your guitar and play Kumbaya and Wonderwall?
No, I don't. No, that's not going to happen. That wouldn't happen if it's 32 below zero. Like, if it's not, no, just no.
So it's not going to be another campfire where Sean brings out a guitar. Hey, everybody. Everybody on this side says row, row. On this side, everybody says gently down the stream. Okay, here we go. You in the back, you're not singing.
I hate being like, and it's happened a lot as, you know, the wife and I are very much like, you know, musicians professionally. So
and like 80% of people you invite to your parties are musicians.
Yeah, so that happens, but when that's not the case, and there aren't musicians, like, we're always expected to give command performances for everybody. And like,
come on, please. A lot of them are like, hey, you think you're a musician? Play something. Play something. I dare you. I double dog dare you.
And, like, that's not how this works, especially for her, because, like, she'll forget every song she knows in that instant, and I'm usually not much better about that. But here's the thing. I'm also a bass player.
Right.
What, I'm going to sit here and play a bass solo? No one wants this. No one wants any of this.
Even the bass player. I mean,
especially the bass player.
I remember being at some parties and whatever. Somebody I don't know, like, oh, you're a musician? Just go ahead and play something. I mean, it's kind of like that goading you out. It's like, well, what do you do for a living? You're a mechanic? Well, go work on my car for free.
Yeah, you say you're a mechanic. You know how to work on cars. Well, go fix my car for free.
Fix my car, and I'll play you Wonderwall while you're doing it.
Like, that's the kind of stupid, you know, the stupid sort of thing that, like, people think that, yeah, I really want to spend my free time being your personal entertainment. And sometimes, you know, okay, fine, I'm happy to do it. Usually if I'm hanging around other musicians and I don't have to be the sole focal point of the thing. Like, I'm not a fan of being put on the spot. Like,
No.
I'm not sure if you've noticed that working with me for
you
the last...
You love being put on the spot. You're like, Adam, if... ever at any point you can put me on the spot, thumbs up, brother.
No,
put me on the spot.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely
doesn't stop people from doing it, but absolutely.
Oh my
not.
God, this guy needs a Heimlich maneuver. Oh, here's my Sean. You're up.
Never Heimlich a maneuver in my life. I don't even know where the Heimlich is.
I didn't say Heinelick.
I don't even know where the Heimlich is.
So what you're saying, when it comes to the Heimlich maneuver, you choked?
Basically, yeah. God damn it, it's happy hour at Salty Radio.
So the trade deadline is, well, this Friday, and there is a burning question that doesn't involve what defensemen we might bring in to replace the human pylons that we currently have.
Right. So, I mean...
Or put Petrie and Hall on the list.
Well, Hall has been on the list, and he has not... he's been scratched more than a lottery ticket. And yes, I have used that analogy a lot, and because I heard somebody chirp that to a player, and I thought it was hilarious. So I'm going to use it a couple more times because it amuses me.
Well, at least it amuses somebody.
Yes, right. But Yzerman, he kind of had a quote, and I'm paraphrasing. He's saying, a lot of people want to know what I'm going to be doing during the trade deadline. It's not going to be going for a puck cup run this season. He is thinking long term. He's a good chess player. He's thinking six moves ahead. So he's thinking about creating a Tampa Bay Lightning-esque dynasty. So anybody who's thinking that, you know, he's going to bring in that one player that's just going to bring us on for a tight run and win the cup this season, just get yourself out of that mentality now. What's he going to do? He will bring in somebody. If nothing else, it's going to be getting rid of maybe he might take an element of being a seller and getting some good assets as in the way of draft picks or young prospects. Now, I don't care if he doesn't do anything for the current roster except for signing Patrick Kane. And I'm starting to see some rumblings that the Red Wings will be offering Patrick Kane an extension. What's that going to be? I don't know. I know they got $16 million in cap space this year. I don't know what it's going to look like
this year?
This season, yeah. 60.
It's not that much. Like it's less than $2 million.
What?
For this season?
No.
Cap space? It's definitely not $16 million, dude. I hate to tell you. I mean, granted,
ESPN had what teams need, and they projected that
per spot track you have $1.7 million in cap space.
Really?
Correct.
Wow. That reminds me of checking my balance after drinking with Sean.
That's
I thought
fair.
I had $16. I got one.
Yeah, that happened a lot.
I thought I had $160. I got 10.
Yeah, no, not so much.
So, I mean, okay, Sean, you are now the general manager for the Detroit Red Wings. Congratulations. You're going to be offering an extension to Patrick Kane, who is 34, 35.
Yeah.
What do you think is a fair offer?
We've talked about this before, and I think we both agreed that like somewhere in the $4.5-5 million range is not unreasonable.
He's made his money. He's made his money. So he's going to make money with Detroit. Absolutely. So what did you say the length of contract?
No, I don't remember what we talked about for that. I mean, how long?
I think we said 2-3 years.
2-3 years? I mean, how long does he realistically have?
Oh, that's
right.
We did talk about this because after 35 years, after 35 years of age, the NHLPA says you sign a contract after that. You owe them the money. There's no buyout. There's no nothing. You can trade that contract away, but you owe
them. You're stuck with that cap hit forever.
Yeah. Yeah. But we're not talking about somebody who's not producing. We're talking about somebody who has
been a point-per-game player
since
he signed with Detroit.
Yeah. I mean, that hip surgery did very well for him. Even the doctor was just like, I did not expect this. I mean, is it maybe he is, I guess I'm doing a side note here, is it that he is gritting through the pain a little bit? Can he keep that up for a couple seasons?
I don't know if it's gritting through the pain. He just feels like he has something to prove.
There it is. No, that's exactly it.
Because no one clearly thought that this was in the realm of possibility, that he would be able to come back and be any kind of an effective NHL player.
Right.
And he's went and proved everybody wrong on that.
Yep.
I think that's more where this thing lies.
Agreed. I mean, is it the money? Because he's made a ton of money. I remember us talking about Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews a couple seasons ago. I was like, wow, they're making some buku bucks. So it's not the money.
And they earned that money.
Yeah. So I think 4.5, 3 years, I think would be a fair kind of contract. Would he sign it, though?
Hard to say. I mean, are there other teams that probably would and could offer more, perhaps?
Would? Maybe. Could? No. Because there's a lot of teams out there who have really mortgaged their future.
Yeah, but there's some teams that will have some cap space going forward next season, though. But that being said, with that in mind, you're also you're probably going to find teams that are interested, but I don't know if they're going to be the contender that he wants. Because he clearly wants to win another cup and play for a team that is going somewhere before, you know, while he's in the twilight of his career.
Yeah. Well, he's not looking for a retirement village. He's looking to, like you said, make a name for himself again. He wants that redemption.
Yeah.
But what better redemption than lifting the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, and you definitely have the cap space going forward. You have 26 mil in cap space next year. And you've got 15 years. Detroit.
26 mil?
Yeah, and you've got 15-year 23 guys already signed. So it's definitely doable. And remember, you're going to have Evanson coming up next year. So he is going to be making basically league minimum.
$900K.
You might very well end up with Casper up here. You probably have, probably not Berggren because he's more than likely. Well, Berggren if he's not traded before the deadline.
Yeah. He was called up a couple days ago. I would assume kind of a show pony kind of atmosphere. Let's bring him up to the NHL because a lot of people are like, all right. Yes, we want to trade for Berggren.
He's tearing it up in Grand Rapids, we know, but...
How does he look in the NHL? Well, now you got Larkin with an injury.
So you're going to see real quick just what he does.
Yeah.
Probably the best showcase that he could ask for. It's just going to suck after Friday because you're not going to have either one of them.
yeah, for sure.
We'll keep her posted, though. Of course, we'll be doing the big old Trade Center thing on Friday. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio.